Hey everyone, I'm Chris. I just had a fantastic conversation. My co-host Dan and I were able to welcome Nerdy into the studio. Minnesota musician, advocate, ball of energy, part-time Santa Claus, coming up right now.
Mall of America. For more than 30 years, it has been a retail leader and an international destination, and it remains the largest mall in the U.S. Not to mention it welcomes millions of guests from around the world. It's huge. But it's also so much more. In this podcast, you're going to hear the real stories of how it started and why it continues to thrive. You'll hear about challenges we faced along the way and what you can learn from them. We will feature guests and experts from all walks of life and business. And along the way, you'll laugh, learn, and maybe even change the way you look at things. So if you're a fan of the mall, a brand new visitor, an entrepreneur, or a dreamer, prepare to dive deep into so much more. This podcast is presented by the Bloomington Convention and Visitors Bureau.
So, like, for you, as a fan of all these fandoms, what shaped Nerdy? Where did Nerdy come from?
That's a lot. I mean, like, I think it's kind of an amalgamation of a bunch of different stuff. Like, I've always been super into nerdy stuff, you know, a big professional wrestling fan, big comic book person, Dungeons and Dragons, cartoons, whatever you get, video games. So I've kind of been a little bit of everything for a while. I think Nerdy sort of came about of just like wanting to embrace all that stuff. Music industry, sometimes you can get really like industry, get really cool. And I tried that. I'm not particularly good at it.
Not happening.
And so I said, well, I'll just kind of be myself, I guess. And if people are into it, then they'll be into it. If not, I don't know. I'll find something else to do, you know?
Right.
And it worked out. Like, it's been really cool just to see how many people are like, yeah, I also liked Digimon. Like, that's cool. Like, let's do that.
But that's got to be part of what's kind of cool about it, because you're being you. Mm. And everybody who's on board with that, it's kind of like you've already done the gatekeeping just by being you.
Yeah.
So anybody who's coming to your shows and gets who you are, inherently, I feel like they've got to be cool.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, cool as in, like, you know, with an asterisk, because none of us are really cool. But
No. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's very much like my fan base is curated to people who like the same stuff, but also like treat each other well, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like fighting like to like have a good time, because everybody here is like, oh yeah, we're about the same stuff. We like the same things, and we want other people to like these things as well. So it's really cool to have, like, the Nerdy Club is the best in the world. I have the best fans in the world.
Well, and you practice what you preach.
Yes,
that's what you very much do. And I was going to say, you know, following you on social, I really appreciate that you do practice what you preach.
Yeah.
And you've pulled out of shows. You've pulled out of venues because you said, this does not align with who I am and who we are. So not happening.
It's one of those things that my big thing is that people work hard. You know what I mean? They go to work. You know, here they are, they're Walgreens 5 days a week. You know what I mean? They give me their hard-earned money to come see a show. I want to provide them with the ability to do that in a safe environment, period. The end. You know what I mean? I get to live my dream because other people work hard and then give me their hard-earned money to do what I love. That's a rarity in this world. And so I want to respect that decision by making sure that the spaces that I'm in are the type of places where I can invite anybody. You know, and they can be there. And if people or places don't align with that or don't hold that same spirit, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair to do that. So that's kind of like how I've been doing this since I started being Nerdy. Like, right. I was like, hey, we're all doing this. Like, I could be doing something else. Like, so this is a privilege, not a right. And so as a privilege, you just kind of have to, like, stand up for your convictions.
And I would say, I think Dan and I especially would agree with that perspective. Like, we do feel privileged that people decide not only to spend their money, but their time.
Yeah.
Time is just as valuable a currency.
Exactly.
And we appreciate it, and we want to put on a good show too.
Yeah, and we do. We love it, and we love creating things, and that's one of the reasons we love having you around too, is your creativity. And the last time I saw you, you had the awesome glasses on. But the one thing I love about this place is they're awesome. I'm sorry.
They are awesome. They should be in the Nerdy Club starter kit.
Yeah.
I would buy that, right?
See,
I would buy that.
We're out there.
But I always talk about the place we're in right now, the mall, right? And I always say that everyone's welcome here. as long as you're welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of how the world should be.
Yeah.
Is as long as we're kind to each other and respectful, and that's a good thing.
That's
right?
A good thing. That's how we move forward. We are a people. You know what I mean? Like, human beings wouldn't work without each other.
Yep.
So the best thing we could do is be as kind and like understanding and willing to learn and grow and change. Yep. Like, that's if you're not willing to do that, then what are you doing? This doesn't work without that.
I agree.
Well, and that would be another thing too that I've observed you do is you give space for that conversation so you can share your perspective on why you're making a decision.
Yeah.
And if somebody chooses not to respect that, see ya. Yeah, that's fine. But it doesn't come from a place of anything other than, hey, I'm trying to educate you on how we can all be better. And if you're not on board with that,
it's cool.
Catch you later.
Yeah. Life's too short to be fighting all the time. Yeah. It really isn't. And like, I just like, yo, if you're not there yet, then you're not there yet.
Right.
You know, like I'm not gonna drag you. You know, right. Girl, I was like, if you want to be a part of what we're doing, then this is the requirement. You know what I mean? This is the price of entry. Like, basic human decency, kindness, understanding, respect. Like, that's what you need to get in.
If that seems like a heavy lift,
that's too much. You're not even going to want to be here.
Yeah, that's right here. Yeah, right? Like, that's right here.
It's too. That's a real low bar. Like, the bar is in Avernus. You know what I mean? Like, it is low. So like, if you can't get over that, then it's not going to be the vibe
then
for
it's not
you.
The
you're
right
not going to
You're
anyway.
Not gonna have fun. Yeah. So it's I try not to make it a huge deal. I just, you know, say what I say. What are they? What was like Horton said? I say what I say and I meant what I said or whatever. You know, and I stick on it.
Yep.
The end.
So Dan, when did you first become aware of Nerdy?
Ooh.
Well, I've heard you talk about Nerdy quite a bit, but my first real experience with Nerdy that I loved and I absolutely loved, and you were the highlight of my experience that day. We had a marketing retreat offsite where our entire marketing team comes together for an entire day, and each department highlights what they're going to highlight, what they're working on, and stuff. And in usual fashion, our events team goes above and beyond. And all of a sudden, this music starts playing, and out of the back room comes Nerdy. And does an amazing performance and got everyone excited. And that started that entire day on the right foot, which was, this is about love. This is about creativity. This is about excitement. And this is about letting go and just saying, hey, we're all in this, right?
Yeah.
And so you made that impression will last with me for years and years.
Well, thank you.
So I don't know how we're going to hide you and the full band next year. Yeah. Surprise everybody.
We're real sneaky. Like, we might be here right now. You never know.
Bring them in. I want it.
No, but it's been fun over the past couple of years, too. We've made a real conscious effort, especially in our events, to make sure that we are highlighting Minnesota or local-ish musicians and giving using our platform hopefully to help elevate others as well and vice versa. Like, we love that we can celebrate so much homegrown talent here. So I feel like you've almost become like the unofficial ambassador of Mall of America events over the past couple of years.
It's dope.
No, I love it. You've been here with First Wrestling.
Yes. Yep. Shout out First Wrestling.
Closed two of our holiday music festivals.
Which were very fun,
with your band. You crashed the marketing retreat. Which then... you were so kind to join us on Black Friday this year.
Yes. Oh,
for Doorbusters.
The Doorbusters. That was actually one of my highlights
hilarious.
Of the year last year. That was
so
really
just
funny.
To explain to our listeners that might not be familiar, on Black Friday, we do this activation where we give out scratch-offs at our north entrance. Some of them are instant win prizes, cup of coffee, passes to Nickelodeon. Some of them are gold prizes where you get a present. And this year we added the Doorbusters.
Yes.
And this year, so the Doorbuster only worked because of our enthusiastic participants that literally busted through doors,
breaking down the
giving
doors,
presents.
Yeah. Oh wow,
to guests.
That was so fun. Oh, it was just a blast. And seeing the looks on some people's faces where we're like exploding out of these doors and running with presents to them. It was wild. I had never really seen anything like it, and it was just so fun.
And when you would do that, I loved it because there was always a huge group gathered around, and they went wild every single time. It was awesome.
Yep. We even got Santa in on it, which I thought was really fun. Yep. And Santa came through. He was busting out the doors.
He was having a blast. Yes. Almost too much fun.
I was like, yo, Santa, you get out gifts all the time.
But it was great.
Really
we got to do it several times, and one of my favorite times was when you just punched the present through the door and then kind of twisted it a bit and then bust through. And there's cheerleaders. was behind you.
Oh, yeah, the Viking students were there. Oh, my goodness.
So much fun.
It was a blast. And you know what one of my favorite parts about that day was? Is when Mrs. Claus pulled me aside and said, I'm a huge fan.
Yes. You heard it here, folks. Mrs. Claus is a nerdy fan.
Well, look at this.
He's number one at the North Pole. Hey, that's all I'm saying.
I'm glad. Those elves work harder. Hopefully they're playing as hard as ours they were. So it was just a really fun time. And then hanging out with people from First Wrestling and the Vikings cheerleaders and then just like everybody at the MOA team. Like it was just a blast.
Yeah,
it was a good
everybody
time.
Was into it.
Yeah.
And we just made some memories.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a ton of fun.
I watched someone unwrap like a PS5, which is incredibly hard to get just in general. no matter where you're going. And the look on their face, like I could tell we made their holiday. You know what I mean? Like it was cool to just be a part of that. As a local artist, it's just like it's my favorite things are giving back. So that was really fun.
And that woman specifically, she went around to almost every staff member that day and thanked them, talking about how huge that was for her, and she was going to give it to her son or grandson.
I
can't remember,
but yes,
it's just wild. Like it was a moment that you could tell that was going to be a lasting thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? That was a lasting memory for her. So that's really cool.
So what was your roadmap with Mall of America?
Yeah,
growing up, what was this place for you?
All over, you know what I mean? I was raised in Rosemont, Minnesota. We come here all the time. This was like one of the cool places to go. I'm like from Camp Snoopy time. You know what I'm talking about? Like I'm from here for a minute.
Old school.
Yeah. Old school.
No one lets us forget it.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing. Anybody that like any millennial who comes over is like, hey, we remember Snoopy, the big old inflatable jumpy thing.
Yep.
And so Mystery Mine Ride. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
I've been about this place for a minute and a half. And like throughout my entire like high school, middle school time, like coming to the Mall of America was a big thing. I think I might have had like one of my first romantic moments here at the Mall of America, like on a New Year's Eve thing.
Wow.
So this is memory. I have memories
not
here.
Not to brag.
Not to brag. You know what I mean? What you want to say? But no, like the Mall of America has always been like a big part of it. Anytime someone comes like from out of town and they're like, oh, I'm like, hey, we got to go to the mall. You got to check this out. You know, I remember one of my favorite memories of my grandfather who spent majority of his life in New York. He's an immigrant from Jamaica, moved to New York. So then when he came and visited us here, I took him to the Mall of America and just to watch his eyes sort of like, whoa, like this is a major place. That was really cool. You know what I mean? I felt like I got to share something with him about like where I've been living for such a long time. So I like it's a staple of like living in the Twin Cities, living in Minnesota, I think is the Mall of America. And yeah, like just being able to play here has been super cool as an artist. I came here through college. This was my hub in college, right? Because I went to college in Minneapolis. The light rail took me right here. So, like, anytime I was coming back to the suburb area, this is where I would meet everybody because I could come right here, you know? And so I've spent so much time here. It's wild to be able to say that now. I'm like, oh, yeah, like I perform here. I know the people here. Like,
all the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah. I walked down just this last time when we were getting ready to go to the green room. And I remember I walked down so casually, I forgot that, like, I should probably tell people that I don't work here. Hey, what's up, Greg? They're like, who is this person?
He seems like he knows where he's going.
It was confidence. Yeah. It was like 90% confidence. And then I was like, I should probably wait for the person who said I should be here. the MOA is like the place.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, and it's fun to hear stories like that too. You know, we were here as guests before as well,
before we
could affect these moments for folks. And it just feels really good to be able to participate from the other side.
Yeah.
And you've done so many big things here. In the last couple of years, especially, like, we've really ramped up, like, oh, well.
We're going to go crazy.
Let's call Nerdy. Let's see if he's willing to do this, too.
The first wrestling one, I think, really, I think that was the first time I performed as Nerdy at the Mall of America, because I had never really done that before. And here I am in the middle of this wrestling ring. You got the whole rotunda filled up with people from the top to the bottom and just walking out and just looking. I'm like, wow, I'm at the Mall of America. We're performing, you know, for first wrestling. You have Rob Van Dam showing up. Orange Cassidy's going to be here. Like, it's like, it was a big deal. The last time was like, what, 1997? Like, before that had happened?
Yeah,
it was crazy. And so it was just I think that's a real surreal moment for me, was like being there for that, like the return of that. And it was just such a blast.
It was really surreal for me too. Mm. Being able to watch that. Cause we did a couple dark matches,
I had kind of, get the feelers out there.
But when you came out, and especially when you did Glorious, it was like goosebumps. And you could feel it, like that whole place was just electric and primed. Wild. And ready for a great show.
They really worked with me, which was great. I had someone, I did the acclaimed, the scissors, the acclaimed fans.
Loopy.
Yeah.
We know Loopy.
Yeah, of course. I was telling, my DJ, who's only getting into wrestling now because like I'm getting into him. I was like, you know, that is a very weird thing to shout out at a person you don't know. If they aren't like a wrestling fan, you know what I mean? And I was like, this is how you know a wrestling fan for not wrestling.
Exactly.
It wasn't weird for me.
Nope.
But I can see, like, when I showed my wife when I got home, they're like, what did they shout at you? And I was like, it's a wrestling thing. It's fine. We're good.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, there are personalities around these fandoms as well. And yes, Loopy.
Yes.
Who is a first wrestling fan who we have found out is also at Mall of America all the time.
It's the place to be.
It's crazy. But there is this, you know, there's this interconnectivity. It is this place where all these folks come together, which we know, obviously, and love. And that's why we're here talking about it.
Yeah, that's for real.
But so you have some other big things in the works, too, that I want to touch on. I'm really excited about your dates in April with the Minnesota Orchestra. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, it is becoming, like, one of the wildest things as a professional musician that I've ever done. The Minnesota Orchestra, full-on symphonic Grammy Award-winning orchestra, and like we're gonna be doing my music for 2 days. Like it's really shaping that. Andy Thompson's our arranger, like, cause I brought here's what I do, and they're like, cool, jump into it. I can't, you know, it's sounding pretty good. Like, not to toot any horn, but it's like, it sounded pretty fantastic for like, I was like, wow, this is real. And here I am, you know, class clown, you know, just most of my life just kind of like dinking around. And to now just walk into orchestra hall and have these professional, like, top tier musicians, some of the best musicians in the world, let alone like the state, but just like in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, it is wild to see how excited they are to do my stuff, and then just to hear it and to like and work with Sarah and the conductor and like everybody. It's been so cool. I'm very, very excited. Like, I feel bad because the show is like, we barely really even talked about it. The show is almost like sold out. So like, I'm like, I really hope that people get a chance to see it. The people who would want to, you know, because it's going to be something else.
You also seem to be very proud of the fact that you're from here and you embrace the community. So what is it like to be able to perform in all these iconic locations simply by being you and doing what you do?
I think there was a version of my life that I was never going to be this, you know? I could have easily given up earlier, because I tried to do music. I was in a rock and roll band. We were good. All right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we were decent. But I feel like I said, again, it's that industry portion of it. Like, I was trying to be someone I wasn't. And I thought, okay, this wouldn't happen for me. But you walk through these places, you see other acts perform, like you walk down that hallway with the star, you see all the other acts that are performed here at the Mall of America, like famous people who are pillars of the industry. And to be like, oh man, what if I could be one of those days? Like, I could be one of those days, I could be one of those people. It's insane, honestly. And then being able to perform in so many of these other places across the state, like at the Mall of America, at the state fair, like it's wild. I feel like strength on strength. I feel like I'm getting blessed every time. I don't know. I'm glad that people like what I do and I'm able to tell the world about it, because now I can travel all over the world, literally. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I'm from Rosemont, Minnesota. Like, we do things like this is what we do.
So I've got a producer note here, which they hate when I call that out, okay. But I love to do it because it brings the behind the scenes to the foreground.
There's a whole group of like really cool people over here. You can't see them.
The producer note says football player to theater.
Yes.
The journey. That is true.
Please.
If you've watched the cinema classic, the American cinematic masterpiece that is High School Musical, you might have a small inclination to how my journey began. I sang in church when I was little, you know what I mean? I did that kind of stuff, but when I got into high school, I was like, I'm gonna be cool. I want to be a cool kid. I want to play football. And I did. I was on the football team, nose guard, center, you know, working both sides of the defense, offense. I was out here. But I guess I should say two things. The one was that, you know, I was a lineman and cheerleaders don't go for linemen. So
not typically.
There's not a lot of people down the rung before you get to me.
It's everyone other than the place kicker.
Yeah, it's like the kicker's after the lineman. But it's just a lot of people before me. So I was like, I'm not really gonna live that life. But then also, just I love performing. I love being able to like be someone else and try different things on and see things from new perspective. That's what theater gives you. And the chance to perform and really embrace just a different type of person is really cool. So I started doing theater, and then after I did like one play, I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, I was like, I'm going to do this. I told my coach. My coach was fine because he's like, that's cool. You're like 5'7". Like, you would have to be really good if I was going to fight to keep you. And I was like, bye. Like, we're good. But it was very much like you show up in your pads and you run off and you quick change, you get on the theater stage. And it was a wild time. But I made the right decision for me, and I still love football, big Vikings fan, you know. But like, that was the story for me. It was like I had a pick, and I chose the thing that really fulfilled me and what I was gonna do. And theater, without theater, there would be no Nerdy, because it's a lot of pageantry. It's a lot of like, you know, just engaging in that way. I encourage everybody who wants to do artistry or performing in any way really should try theater. At the very least, try it out, because there is nothing like that. It's like a live audience. It's the most real thing.
Dan?
I agree. No, ironically, Nerdy and I have had a very similar life path. I was a lineman on a football.
Hey!
A lineman.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, a sophomore, mainly because I was afraid I'd get beat up if I didn't go out for the team.
That's a fair defense strategy for high school.
And yet again, when I went to the coach and said, I'm going to go in theater, he did not try to keep me either.
No. You can tell the players and the coach is like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go into theater. Yeah. I'm kind of good.
And I loved it. It was awesome, right? Yeah. Changed my life.
It did. It really did. It really changed my life. It's a different journey, and it's one that like you learn a whole lot. And football, being on a team, you can learn a lot from that too. I did. I learned a lot from my time on doing football. But like, and I did some football in college too. So it wasn't like I just stopped doing it altogether. But like, my heart, my passion really burned for performing, and being able to do that, it changed my life.
Were there any influences out there for you as a young man that you drew those lessons from that shaped who you are?
Oh, my goodness. I'm one of those people that I internalize a lot of stuff that I watch. So first of all, Spider-Man. It sounds weird, but like Spider-Man is like the basis of so much of what I've grown into, I think. Even now I'm looking at as an adult, I'm like, man, I took a lot of lessons from that. Like the comic books and the things that I've read really changed me. With great power comes great responsibility as a foundation of like my life. And I think it's a very real sentiment that people really, everyone should hold. It's like, hey, if you have power, you have the ability to shape things, you have a responsibility to do that for the good, you know what I mean? And then, you have stories like Superman, here, immigrant, you know, immigrant is afraid of people like finding out, but still using their power to do good. Even Batman, I'm not a huge Batman fan, but even Batman, the idea of like turning tragedy into something constructive, you know, using your wealth wealth to help other people, right. like that right. kind of stuff. So that's influences that really changed me, but also just like music influences Prince, clearly. I'm from Minnesota. So like Prince and like being yourself, just doing things weird. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that's my whole bit. Like, yeah. you know, yeah. like, just do it weird. Just don't worry about being like the cool person. Just do it weird. So Prince is big. And like professional wrestlers,
The pageantry cannot be denied.
I love Macho Man Randy Savage. I'm big into like people, like even like, you know, like the Hurricane. I love the Hurricane Girl because it's where everything collided for me. You know what I mean? Superheroes, wrestling. Yep. The Hurricane got me into it. You know, John Cena, Booker T, all that kind of stuff. And so like there's a lot of influences that sort of molded nerdy into like who I am now.
Yeah, and the pageantry and the performance aspect of it, I could definitely see that. But all those elements are there.
Yeah.
They're in your shows. They're in your music.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, awesome. It's my favorite thing. I love doing this.
So I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We could probably talk to you conservatively
for hours.
Oh, yeah, 8 hours.
That's a premium thing.
But it feels like that's a good origin story. That's where we'll leave it now.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and we'll see where you are after the orchestra.
There we go, yeah.
Maybe know. Before next Black Friday. But real quick, rapid fire. I mean, I know this one, but I'm going to ask you to.
Here we go.
Camp Snoopy or Nickelodeon Universe?
Oh, snap. Don't do that to me.
Rapid
Let's wrap it.
Fire.
Okay. I'm going to say Camp Snoopy. I'm sorry. I love Nickelodeon.
That's all right.
I do. You had to be there. You just had to be there.
Special place.
But I can tell you that I have made, and watching my nieces make a lot of beautiful memories at Nickelodeon Universe is really wonderful too.
Right. Mm. Camp Snoopy was our part.
That was ours. That was for me. Yep. And seeing like the next generation get to have that moment. If at any point it becomes something else, we're going to hear, Nickelodeon Universe was the thing. Why'd you guys do that? So like, I understand where I fall in it.
Yeah. Dan?
What's the rapid fire?
And for me, it's also Camp Snoopy, simply because I brought my son here when he was little, and I saw the world through his eyes.
That's why it's our part.
Snoopy generation. But I love Nickelodeon. I love all the stuff we've done there.
Agreed. Yep. Agreed. Favorite Ninja Turtle?
Oh, Michelangelo. That's not even hard.
Leonardo.
Okay. Good, good. Favorite pizza?
Pepperoni. I'm pretty basic that way.
Black olives, green olives, and very spicy peppers.
That was wrong. That was a wrong answer. I didn't think you could give a wrong answer. I didn't think that was possible. It was an opinion question, but they're telling me that was wrong. Wow. That was hey, good.
It's good.
Yeah, I might have to try it. I'll take it back. I'll try it before I judge it.
Favorite superhero?
Oof. It's a tie between The Flash, specifically Wally West, or Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam, Billy Batson. I'm big on that.
Gotcha.
Is it wrong to say a relative of mine? That's probably not a good answer, right?
Oh, they can be a superhero.
My son is kind of a superhero.
Oh,
in my
eyes. Well,
again, another wrong answer.
And I don't want to emphasize that I love my family.
Gross.
I've seen him grow into an amazing man and a great father, and he's my superhero.
That's awesome. Look at that. That's awesome. Nice. I picked someone.
I feel like that's a great place to wrap it up.
That was beautiful. Yeah, no, we love it.
Well, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Thank you all for joining us. Tune in next time for so much more.
All right.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of So Much More. If you want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you find your favorites, including Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And you can also watch a video cast on YouTube. Go to podcast.mallofamerica.com to leave a review, ask a question, or give us an idea for the show. Until next time, thanks for listening. So Much More is presented by the Bloomington Convention and Visitors Bureau, the official destination marketing organization for the city of Bloomington, Minnesota. Before your next trip to Mall of America, visit bloomingtonmn.org for answers to all your travel questions, deals and packages for hotel stays, and so much more.